Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Selfridge, The Life and Times of Harry Gordon Selfridge by Fergus Mason is a biography focused on Harry Gordon Selfridge, the American retail entrepreneur who transformed the department store into a modern consumer experience. The book examines his rise from an employee at Marshall Field & Company in Chicago to the founder of Selfridge's on Oxford Street in London, opening in 1909. Its purpose is not only to recount his personal history, but to show how his business ideas altered retail practice in the early 20th century. The narrative places special emphasis on the methods that made Selfridge influential aggressive pre-opening advertising, carefully designed store environments, customer-centric service, and the use of shopping as a social experience rather than a purely functional task. It also presents the tension between innovation and decline, showing how ambition, extravagance, and economic change affected his later years. As a result, the book works both as a business biography and as a study of retail history. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Harry Gordon Selfridge turned retail into an experience. One of the book's central concerns is Selfridge's belief that shopping should be enjoyable, not merely practical. Fergus Mason presents this as a major break from older retail habits, where stores were often organized around efficiency, formality, and limited customer engagement. Selfridge instead treated the department store as a destination, with displays, amenities, and atmosphere designed to encourage browsing. That idea matters because it helped define the modern department store model, in which the physical environment is part of the product. The book shows that this approach was not cosmetic. By making shoppers feel comfortable and curious, Selfridge increased both time spent in the store and the likelihood of purchases. This was a business strategy rooted in psychology as much as merchandising. The analysis makes clear that his success came from understanding consumer behavior before it was a formal field, and from using retail space to shape desire, attention, and spending. Secondly, advertising, hype, and the making of a modern brand. The book also highlights Selfridge's unusual confidence in publicity and promotion. Before his London store even opened, he invested heavily in advertising, using anticipation itself as a commercial tool. Fergus Mason treats this as one of Selfridge's most important innovations because it shifted attention away from passive selling and toward brand creation. The store was not simply launched, it was staged as an event. That strategy helped Selfridge's enter the public imagination before customers had even walked through the doors. In historical terms, this anticipated later retail and media practices in which visibility, messaging, and identity are as important as the goods on sale. The book's treatment of this theme shows that Selfridge understood that a store could compete through image, not only inventory or price. His publicity instinct also shaped his reputation, making him a recognizable public figure rather than a behind-the-scenes merchant. The result was a business with both commercial and cultural presence. Thirdly, customer service principles and the origins of the customer is always right idea. Another important topic in the book is Selfridge's emphasis on customer respect and service. He is closely associated with the slogan, "The customer is always right," and Mason uses that association to explain how he redefined the relationship between store and shopper. Rather than treating customers as people to be managed or corrected, Selfridge built a service culture designed to make them feel welcome, secure, and valued. The book suggests that this attitude was commercially smart as well as socially significant because it reduced the intimidation many people felt in upscale retail spaces. It also widened the appeal of the store by making it accessible across classes. At the same time, the book does not present the slogan as a complete business philosophy. It implicitly recognizes its limits, especially when judged against the complexity of managing a large enterprise over time. This balance is important because it prevents the biography from becoming a simple celebration of a famous phrase, and instead places customer service in its full historical context. Fourthly, staff relations, workplace reform, and a different idea of management. Mason also devotes attention to how Selfridge treated employees, which is a useful counterweight to the focus on customers. The book presents him as unusual for his period because he emphasized teamwork rather than rigid hierarchy. According to the historical record reflected in the research material, he rejected some of the harsher practices common in department stores and encouraged a more respectful working environment. That matters because it shows that his innovations extended beyond merchandising into management culture. He understood that the employee experience influenced the customer experience and that morale could affect the quality of service on the shop floor. The biography uses this to show that Selfridge was not simply a promoter or showman. He was also a business operator who recognized the value of internal culture. This theme adds depth to the portrait because it complicates the familiar public image of him as the man behind a slogan. It shows a broader organizational vision, even if his methods were still tied to the demands and pressures of competitive retail. Lastly, ambition, extravagance, and the limits of retail genius, the book does not stop at success. It also follows Selfridge's decline, making his story a cautionary example of how innovation alone cannot guarantee long-term stability. Fergus Mason places his later difficulties in the context of economic change, debt, and personal extravagance. That structure is important because it prevents the biography from becoming a simple triumph narrative. Selfridge changed retail, but he did not escape the consequences of overreach or shifting market conditions. The book's value lies partly in this tension. It acknowledges his brilliance, while showing how difficult it was to sustain a grand vision across decades. This gives the biography a broader business lesson about adaptation, capital management, and the dangers of confusing public success with durable security. By including the fall as well as the rise, Mason presents Selfridge as a historically significant but deeply flawed figure. That makes the book more credible and more useful than a celebratory profile, because it shows both the power and the fragility of entrepreneurial innovation in modern commerce. In conclusion, this book will be most useful for readers interested in business history, retail innovation, and biography. It is especially suitable for people who want to understand how modern department stores developed, not just who founded one of the most famous examples. The book offers practical value by showing how customer experience, store design, publicity, and employee culture can shape a brand long before such ideas became standard business language. It also provides intellectual value because it situates Selfridge within a wider transformation of shopping culture, including the collapse of older class boundaries in retail spaces and the rise of consumer spectacle. Compared with many biographies, this one stands out because its subject is not treated only as an eccentric personality or a legend attached to a slogan. Instead, the book frames him as a historically important operator whose methods had lasting influence, while still acknowledging the weaknesses that contributed to his decline. That combination of business analysis and historical perspective gives the book a distinctive place among works on retail pioneers. Readers looking for a concise but meaningful account of how modern shopping took shape will find it more focused than a general biography and more grounded than a simple success story. If you would like to support Fergus Mason, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.